From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Measurable Progress Toward Certain Victory, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Call to be saints. We are very apt to regard the apostolic saints as if they were saints in a more special manner than other children of God. All are saints whom God has called by His grace and sanctified by His Spirit. But we are apt to look upon the apostles as extraordinary beings, scarcely subject to the same weaknesses and temptations as ourselves. Yet in so doing, we are forgetful of this truth, that the nearer a man lives to God, the more intensely has he to mourn over his own evil heart. And the more his master honors him in his service, the more also does the evil of the flesh vex and tease him day by day. The fact is, if we had seen the Apostle Paul, we should have thought him remarkably like the rest of the chosen family. And if we had talked with him, we should have said, we find that his experience and ours are much the same. He is more faithful, more holy, and more deeply taught than we are, but he has the self-same trials to endure. Nay, in some respects, he is more sorely tried than ourselves. Do not then look upon the ancient saints as being exempt either from infirmities or sins, and do not regard them with that mystic reverence which will almost make us idolaters. Their holiness is attainable even by us. We are called to be saints by that same voice which constrained them to their high vocation. It is a Christian's duty to force his way into the inner circle of saintship. And if these saints were superior to us in their attainments, as they certainly were, let us follow them. Let us emulate their ardor and holiness. We have the same light they had, the same grace is accessible to us, and why should we rest satisfied until we have equaled them in heavenly character? They lived with Jesus, they lived for Jesus, therefore they grew like Jesus. Let us live by the same Spirit as they did, looking unto Jesus, and our saintship will soon be apparent.
Precious Savior, that thy love lay hold of me, thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Emptied that thou shouldest fill me, a clean
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. God had promised the land to Abraham's descendants long ago, and now he confirmed that promise to Joshua. In verse 3 of chapter 1, God said to him, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." In beginning this message, Dr. Cairns emphasized that the conquest of the land, as well as victory in the Christian life, is accomplished one step at a time. Joshua had a great goal before him, and he was aware of the need of caring for every detail to assure victory. Having recognized the goal before him, Joshua took the steps necessary to achieve that goal. God had said that Joshua would conquer exactly as much land as he occupied. In other words, our victory will be no better than our daily walk with God. Joshua was looking to God for great things. Similarly, we must live and work by faith, constantly relying upon the Lord for strength and guidance. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Measurable Progress Toward Certain Victory.
How many of God's people are really on the stretch for God? How many of God's people are really looking forward to anything? How many are living with an expectancy, looking to God for great and glorious things, not living in the past, not giving up the future, but forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forward to those things which are before? And then he says, I press. The idea certainly there is one of difficulty. It's one of encountering opposition. It's one of having to endure hardship. I press toward the mark. It doesn't come easily. So what's my spiritual desire? What practical steps am I taking? Am I willing to take? What practical steps should I take to obtain that goal? You take some of the great areas of life and apply the question. Take your personal life. The goal in personal life is sanctification. The goal in personal life for a Christian is conformity to Christ. Now, how do you obtain that? Well, you obtain it by faith, not by the works of the flesh, not by mere adherence to lists of principles. So many people think that if they have this checklist of principles, they check them off, do this, 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 and this, that's sanctification. Don't you believe it? That's frustration, not sanctification. Sanctification is living with your eyes on Christ and getting such a sight and such a spiritual understanding of Christ, as 2 Corinthians 3 puts it, that you are transformed into His image from glory unto glory. You must be looking unto Jesus. But faith works. Looking unto Jesus leads to action. Now, it's one thing to say, in my personal life, I want to be sanctified, I want to be Christ-like. But what about the practicalities? Take the Savior's attitude to God. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. He says, I do always those things that please God. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. When you see the Savior before his Father, he recognizes the Holy Father, the righteous Father. And though he's in the most intimate fellowship with him, yet he is in the most profound subjection to him as the Son of Man. I tell you, you can have all the laudable and high-sounding aims for sanctification and godliness that you will, but until there is that attitude toward your God, you'll make no measurable progress. Take the Savior's attitude to the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is always on his lips. He's quoting it. He's referring to it. What he said is clearly built upon it. The Word of God, this is a great study. You take your New Testament and just see how he used it when he opposed his enemies. See how he used it when he was in conflict with the devil. See how he used it when he was alone with his disciples. See how he used it when he was on his own, away from any. See how he used it in life, on the cross, in the resurrection, and now from the throne of glory. The Word of God was his daily meat. Now, this is the Word that sanctifies. This is what the Savior says in John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There are Christians who are making high-sounding claims about wanting to be holy and wanting to serve the Lord and wanting to be like Christ, but they spend very little time in the Word. They hardly read the Word. And when they do read the Word, it is with a mind that's half on something else. There's little thinking upon the Word. There is little subjection to the Word. And I want to tell you, you're living in a dreamland if you think you know anything of true holiness without having the Word of God deeply, deeply, deeply ingrained in your soul. This is the key. Think of his attitude to prayer. If anybody didn't need to pray, you would say, surely it's the Savior. He's God manifested in the flesh. He is, but he was still in the flesh. And he prayed. But then think of it. He's the Son of God manifested in the flesh. Would the Son of God not wish to be in constant communion with his Father? Sure he would. And that's seen in his prayer life. It's the most important thing to the Savior. I don't know anybody ever had such a busy schedule as the Lord Jesus Christ. He was hounded by crowds of friends and foes. Sometimes the friends were a greater intrusion than the foes. But yet, no matter what he was doing, he was feeding the hungry, he was giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, life to the dead, he was remaking families, he was saving souls. All these things he was doing. Vitally important things. But yet there was one thing more important. It was more important than eating. It was more important than sleeping. It was more important than preaching. It was more important than any other thing that he did. And it was to be in communion with his Father. And so he would get up a long way before day. He would spend the whole night alone with God. Sanctification cannot take place apart from real, vital communion with God in the place of prayer, no matter what it costs. Then think of his attitude to people. We have so many Christians who live little lives that are so remote from the world. Now, we ought to be separated from the world, but we ought not to be remote from the people of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ sought people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus was seeking for people. He never lived his life apart from people. And especially in our separatist fundamental churches, I think far too often we have put up the barricades and we have got in behind them. And we look at that big bad world out there and we don't want to touch it. Well, that's fine as to moral pollution. We don't want to touch it. But remember, those are souls that are going to live for all eternity. And if we would in our personal life be conformed to Christ, we have got to start looking at people differently. And that's not easy. It's not easy. When you're brought up the way most of us have been brought up, when you see a fellow with hair that's straggling down over his shoulders and he's posturing as if he thought he was Tarzan of the Apes, it's very hard to take him seriously. It's very hard not just to dismiss him. Say, well, he's just a hippie. Well, Yahoo or something. Well, whatever a Yahoo is, I don't know. But that's the kind of way people are dismissed. But remember, he's just a sinner. The same as you and I. Just a sinner. The Lord Jesus came to seek and save sinners. He sought them. They weren't very good to look at. They weren't very nice to be around. When he sought out Matthew the publican, he was the most reprobate character you would want ever to meet or not want to meet. But he sought him out. When the prostitute walked in off the street, the Pharisee withdrew. Jesus let her come to his feet and bathe his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hairs. When they brought the woman taken in adultery, they wanted to stone her. Bunch of hypocrites that they were, while they let their equally immoral crony, who had been taken in adultery with her, they let him go free. But they wanted to put her to death. Jesus said, I do not condemn thee. It's not that he was soft in sin, but he had a great, great love for sinners. And that's part of sanctification. Holiness is not sitting in our little glass box, watching the world go by, throwing up Pharisaical hands, saying, I thank you, God, that I am not as other men. Holiness is going in the power and the love of Jesus Christ to the real people of the real world. Jesus could not look on a crowd without tears, for they were a sheep without a shepherd. He could not look on the most unworthy without reaching out. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Think of his attitude to suffering. He's the man of sorrows. The first crown he ever wore after his incarnation was a crown of thorns. The Apostle Paul grasped this when in Philippians chapter 3 he started to plumb the depths of sanctification. He said, I suffer the loss of all things. If you look at the context, he suffered the loss of, as far as his people were concerned, his pedigree, his prestige, his position in life. He suffered the loss of all the advancement for which he had been admirably trained. He suffered the loss of riches. He suffered the loss of comfort. He suffered the loss of men's applause. He suffered the loss of all things until finally he suffered the loss largely of health. He was battered, bruised, and broken. And then he suffered the loss of life. He says, I have suffered the loss of all these things. To me, they are just dung. Stop there. Now, we're supposed to be Christians. Let's not mouth the words. Some of the things that you and I hold on to as if they were the gold dust of heaven, Paul says, shovel it away, it's just dung. It stinks in the nostrils of God. I suffer the loss of all things to win Christ. These are the hard steps toward the great goal. Time doesn't permit me to follow this into the home life. But you've got to ask not only what kind of a home do I want, but what am I doing? Especially in the light of Ephesians chapter 5, 22. Well, go back to 17 and following. In the light of all that, what am I doing to bring about the home that I ought to have? Am I the husband in that home, the father in that home? If you're the mother in that home, or the son or the daughter, am I doing what God says I ought to do? It's all right saying the kind of home we want. Christians want a lot for their homes, but they're not willing to pay the price to have it. So many people think it's such a sacrifice. The world mocks such a sacrifice you make for this kind of home. But let me tell you, when you read God's Word, especially Ephesians 5, mark it carefully and ask yourself, what am I doing to obtain the blessing?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.